Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Undersecretary of State for Management, Henrietta Holzman IV. And joining us in our conversation is Bonnie Glick. Madam Undersecretary, our listeners may not know about the joint performance plan that the Department of State and USAID submit jointly. Could you share a bit about this plan, and what does this report reveal about your joint performance?
We have a close partnership with USAID on both policy and management. To improve upon this good relationship, the Secretary announced steps for an even closer alignment between state and USAID. The Department and USAID work closely together to accomplish shared strategic goals, including building democracy and prosperity, fighting terrorism, eradicating disease and human trafficking, among others. For fiscal year 2006, for the first time, the Department of State and USAID submitted a joint performance plan. It describes how the two agencies will accomplish joint policy and program performance goals, taking into account their common strategic planning framework. The plan shows how both agencies manage programs, allocate resources, implement management priorities, and evaluate performance. We are currently working on the fiscal year 2007 joint performance plan with USAID and will submit it to Congress together with the President's budget.
We understand that the State Department has been revamping recruiting, hiring, training support to get the right people in the right places with the right skills. And in fact, I believe you referenced this as one of your management priorities. What is the status of your efforts in these areas, and what results have you seen to date?
It is one of our priorities. Secretary Rice and I are fully committed to ensuring that the Department's workforce reflects the excellence and the diversity of America. We want the best and the brightest to come to state, and we are seeking diversity. So competition is intense for top-notch employees. We have formed partnerships with many organizations, participated in conferences, sent out our message in print and electronic media. We have diplomats in residence on 17 college campuses across the country, and these diplomats identify, counsel, and mentor prospective employees. We've been broadening our outreach to many minority organizations, and we need Arab Americans, Turkish Americans, Chinese Americans, Korean Americans, scientists, and IT professionals. We just need diversity. We reward Foreign Service candidates who have passed written and oral exams with a bonus score if they are already proficient in one of our critically needed languages, and they can be hired more rapidly into the service. We are also streamlining our hiring processes with online registration for the Foreign Service written exam. It's important to note that the Foreign Service written exam is only held once a year. Recruiting for civil service is a little bit different. We are one of the most active participants in the President Management Fellowship Program. In fiscal year 2004, we ranked second among all government agencies employing Presidential Management Fellows, and we selected 51 new fellows for fiscal year 2005. We've also been using the Career Entry Program. It will have 150 participants, and there is no deadline to register for this. Our bureaus request qualified applicants. Passport specialists are the greatest in demand, and they were 95 out of the 150 Career Entry Program individuals we had this past year. It is a two-year career development program. It is open to the public with positions in areas like contract management, personnel management, financial management, security and intelligence, foreign affairs, consular affairs, management analysis, and information technology. And we have 38 of these career entry program participants that are graduates of our various student programs. We also recruit Foreign Service nationals. We've been developing a manual for standardized recruitment all over the world, and we also acknowledge the unique circumstances of each mission in this regard. But Foreign Service national staff are dedicated and experienced, and we wish to see more excellent hires. We also offer career development and training opportunities through distance learning. Our Foreign Service Institute offers more than 450 courses and more than 50,000 enrollees in classroom and distance learning courses in last fiscal year. We are thinking about expanding the use of case studies. We also have leadership training, and it's integrating leadership skills and best practices into all levels of the organization. We are targeting more than 7,000 mid-level employees who, by the first quarter of fiscal year 2007, should have taken our leadership and management training classes. We also have seminars on transformational diplomacy that are new this year. In November, Secretary Rice opened the first in the series of four seminars. These are on democracy building, disease control and eradication, human rights, anti-corruption, and rule of law. In language training, the Foreign Service Institute teaches about 70 languages, and we are adding more advanced language training, as well as using more educational technology, distance learning, in-country immersions to our already high-quality programs. Foreign Service Institute students can reach proficiency in a language in 22 weeks, which is a remarkable accomplishment.
Madam Undersecretary, how has the spread of terrorism directed at Americans abroad impacted the management of American embassies and the necessary security?
The cost and requirements for security have increased greatly since 1998 and the bombing of our East African embassies. In aftermath of those attacks, we instituted security review boards, which provided valuable management recommendations, and we're building new buildings safer and better and making the ones that we are keeping both safer and stronger. For example, we have substantially increased the number of diplomatic security agents and local guards overseas, and we've made numerous physical enhancements to our embassies and consulates overseas. We are well on our way to replacing inadequate and insecure facilities in about 150 locations. This is by the year 2018, so we have more work to do. But it is everyone's job to pay more attention to safety and security. All employees going on their first overseas assignment are required to complete a 5-day class in security awareness, and they go through periodic updates. A key to improved security management is information distribution, and security situations can develop at lightning speed, and sometimes we only have seconds to prevent or avert an incident. Therefore, information must be available and acted upon immediately. We now have a state-of-the-art diplomatic security command center which collects, analyzes, and shares information with the intelligence community. It also disseminates real-time information to senior department officials and distributes global spot reports immediately following security situations.
We understand that the State Department has recently implemented some knowledge management tools to ensure that employees have the right information when they need it. Could you describe the tools and any feedback you've received about their efficacy?
This is a very important area. Our employees must have the information they need to lead our foreign policy whenever and wherever they need it. So we are giving them a wide array of tools. We have been successful in providing teleworkers and others in our highly mobile workforce secure access to their computer desktops while they're away from the office, and our goal is to expand by 5,000 users by the end of fiscal year 2006. We are working with other foreign affairs agencies in a foreign affairs virtual environment that will connect our networks, save on resources, and tap into the government's vast amount of information on international affairs. There is also a new award-winning system called Employee Profile Plus, and we used this when the tsunami hit in Asia. We quickly found people who could help with tsunami relief, who spoke the languages and carried the skills for a disaster. It will be a great tool for managers to find the right people for the right job.
After reading your 2005 performance report, we understand that the State Department is working on a green plan for competitive sourcing. Could you share some details about these efforts with other government leaders who are listening this morning?
All government leaders now know about the Federal Activities Inventory Reform, the FAIR Act, that came into law in 1998. We are moving forward with incorporating competitive sourcing in our management practices because we believe it is a useful management tool. We can restructure and improve the management support for both domestic and overseas operations. We are in constant dialogue with OMB on our Green Plan for Competitive Sourcing, which is our initiative for a long-range competition plan. We are not sitting idle. Currently, an overseas team is looking at opportunities to incorporate competitive sourcing into management at our overseas posts and missions. The department currently has three standard competitions underway: our worldwide printing support, our domestic vehicle fleet management, and technical support for our overseas assignment process.
We understand that the State Department achieved green in financial performance in 2004 and, more importantly, has stayed there successfully. As the former director of the U.S. Mint and someone who started their own business, what advice would you share with other government leaders about getting to green and staying there?
Well, it's very important to be green. So once a month, we are now dressing in green when we review our green goals. But we are very proud of our efforts in this area. We feel it is a significant accomplishment when you consider the challenging nature of financial management in our global and foreign affairs environment, conducting diplomatic relations in 172 countries in almost every time zone around the globe, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, while dealing in over 100 different currencies. Improved financial performance means that we know where every dollar comes from and where every dollar goes in a timely and accurate manner, and that financial information is used day to day to obtain the best performance and ensure accountability to the American public. To get to green, an agency must first focus on and be proficient at the fundamentals, on-time and accurate financial statements that achieve clean audit opinions, effective performance accountability reports, sound financial systems and processes, and effective internal controls. For many agencies, setting a 3-day close for a financial set of statements was a real achievement, and for many private businesses, it is a real achievement. With these fundamentals in mind, financial information must be used to achieve results, such as lower costs or improved outcomes, and to support decision-making by department principals. To maintain a green score requires commitment from the top, persistent measurement of progress and benefits, collaboration of offices throughout an organization, in our case it is the world, and to identify and report on key efficiency measures, partnering with OMB and other agencies to leverage their best practices and technologies that have emerged in various of the President Management Agenda initiatives.
What does the future hold for the Department of State? We will ask Undersecretary of State for Management Henrietta Halsman Foer to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.